Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
And welcome to the Billboard Chartbeat Podcast. Gary Trust, Billboard's co-director of charts.
And hey guys, it's Trevor Anderson, chart manager here at Billboard.
Back in 2017, after a two-week flashback to 1987, the last couple weeks, 40 to 1 we went.
Yes, we counted down the entire top 40 of the Hot 100, broke it down into two parts, also had special guests on each week. Gary, of course, had to be fair and balanced and have Tiffany on the first week, and of course that means Debbie Gibson was on last week. Hopefully you guys enjoyed some insights from them, both 30 years on the Billboard charts, celebrating their chart anniversaries. Good stuff.
So we're back this week, obviously, Taylor Swift's Look What You Made Me Do, number one on the Hot 100 this week, earns the top weekly streams and sales of 2017 for any song, breaks the streaming record for a song by a woman. So we're going to get into all that this week, all the Hot 100 news for Taylor Swift in the top 10. And we're going to ask the question, will Taylor Swift be the artist of the decade for the 2010s, which actually just came from a question you asked in the office last week. I thought, that's a really interesting question. I thought it was clicky, so I figured let's make that key to the podcast.
And hopefully there are a lot of clicks out there listening to this answer. Hopefully Gary's news judgment is on point. It will be. It definitely is just something that just had to pop in my mind as we gear up for another Taylor Swift album cycle that seems to be following a lot of the successful formula of the playbook already. That's taken her to two Album of the Years, plenty of huge year-end honors on the Billboard charts, and, of course, millions and millions and millions of records sold.
So we'll get into that. We're also going to get, on the phone, the old Taylor. We're going to call the old Taylor. I think she's going to answer.
I don't even know what this one's about to be about. This will be, okay, we'll see.
I don't think she's dead.
If Gary's got the magic lifeline.
So that is coming up. Also, really a big part of this episode, this is the real world stuff, the really important stuff. We're going to talk to three radio programmers in Houston about how their stations, and radio in general, really, is doing all it can to help the community through Hurricane Harvey and its aftermath. And I know, Trevor, you're from Houston, so we'll talk about that when we get to that part of the show. But really want to just thank them for coming on and telling us all about that. So that's on the way. And as usual as well, a flashback to
good year of 1998. We got a nice Houston-related throwback in particular, given the situation going on. Something that hopefully a few people out there from Houston know and recognize from the radio back in the day. A nice Houston classic.
All right. Right now, this week's Hot 100 Top 10.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3. 2, 1.
Number 10.
You know I love it when the music stops, but come on, strip that down for me, baby. Now there's a lot of people in the crowd, but only you can dance with me. So put your hands on my body and swing that round for me.
Number 9. Number 8.
Oh, I've been shaking. I love it when you go crazy. You take all my inhibitions. Baby, there's nothing holding me back. You take me places that tear up my
reputation. Number 7.
dreams. You're the face of the future.
Number 5.
I know that trust is karma, perfume regret. You got me thinking about when you were mine.
Number 4.
Wow, 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 thoughts. Wow, wow, wow. When I with you, all I get is wild thoughts. Wow, wow, wow. When I with you, all I get is wild thoughts. I
don't Number
dance
3.
Now, I make money move. Say, I don't gotta dance, I make money move. If I see you now and speak, that means I don't fuck with you. I'm a boss to a worker, bitch.
Number 2.
Estás conmigo. Despacito, quiero desnudarte a besos despacito. Firmo en las paredes de tu laberinto y hacer de tu cuerpo todo un manuscrito.
And number 1.
Look what you made me do. Look what you just made me do. Look what you just made me do. Look what you made me do. Look what you made me do. Look what you just made me do. Look what you just made me do. I don't like you.
Woohoo! Check that out. If you've been listening to this podcast for the past couple of months, you will instantly notice that is not Despacito bringing up the rear this time.
When I heard Despacito, the clip, I just assumed it was time to start talking again. It felt weird to have another song after that.
Right? You would have cut it off, but it is time. It is a moment that certainly, if no one else, the Lambs have been waiting for. Here we are. New number 1 this week on the Hot 100, Taylor Swift, Look What You Made Me Do, as Gary mentioned at the top of the show. Key thing for a lot of people and why the Lambs are so excited this week is it stops Despacito at 16 weeks at number 1, at least for this moment. So Despacito, of course, last week tying the record, all-time record for the most weeks at number 1 on the Hot 100, along with Mariah Carey and Boyz II Men, One Sweet Day, from 95 into 1996. And so Taylor is back. You know, we've been talking for a while as Despacito continued its major run, got double digits, got to 12, got to 14, and a lot of times people were saying that maybe the only thing that can stop it is a new song from Taylor Swift.
Right.
And whether she had planned this out, whether she heard your cries, she came out, she saved the day for those fans out there. And she's number 1 once again.
Yeah, and it wasn't even close. It was a 2-1, more than 2-1 points lead this week for Look What You Made Me Do over Despacito. So completely takes over at number 1. And yeah, it sets up the question for next week. Is it going to get a second week at number 1? Or is Despacito going to come back and maybe break the record for most weeks at number 1 next week? Yeah, still a little early to tell just from the early numbers this week. Taylor's song would really have to just fully fall apart, which, you know, in second weeks, songs that have, after that big first streaming and sales week, they sometimes fall. So it'll surely go down in points next week, but it has such a big lead and airplay is still building that.
And airplay has particularly jumped up quickly on this song. It's not even that this song is sort of languishing on there. I mean, this week it already jumps into the top 15 of radio songs. So, I mean, the attention is there.
Right. And, you know, one of the songs that could challenge at least upper reaches of the Hot 100, if not necessarily number 1, we're still working on number projections, but Taylor's other new song, Ready For It, the next song she's revealed from Reputation.
And Ready For It has been number 1 on iTunes for a good part of the week, so people out there ready to snatch that one up as well. And interesting that she's kind of now teamed with the promo opportunities that have come with, I saw on ESPN a lot during the weekend, and ABC and all the Disney family kind of tied together, that a lot of these promotional videos for college football have the song featured in it, soundtracking, so that gives it a huge exposure. Also, apparently she's playing the halftime show at the College National Championship.
Yeah, right.
That will be coming up early 2018. So whatever teams end up making it there. The game obviously draws a huge audience. So Taylor taking advantage of that as well.
I didn't see any of those ESPN promos because I was watching ESPN, but the Red Sox were losing so badly to the Yankees. I just couldn't keep watching Sunday night.
Well, you know, Gary's a Boston fan through and through. But somebody who is winning this week, of course, Taylor Swift, as Gary mentioned at the top of the show, having a huge sales week, coming in with 353,000 copies sold. That is the best sales week for any song this entire year. So 9 months in, smashing that record. Previously, Ed Sheeran had the best sales week of 2017. Shape of You sold 240,000 when it first showed up in January. So Taylor taking that by more than 100,000, just snatching that one from friend Ed.
Right. Hopefully, it doesn't hurt the friendship at all.
You feel like, you know, you feel like if Taylor Swift is your friend, you've probably got to be okay with being second fiddle. Also winning on the streaming front and even bigger moves there. Gary, you want to go ahead and let the people know just how big a streaming week we're talking?
Right. Record week for a song by a female artist, 84.4 million U.S. streams for the week. Just completely blows past the old record for a female artist, Adele, Hello. 61.6 million in its first week.
That surprised you? That it not only did that, but also did that to that degree?
Not really, especially when you think of how that was about 2 years ago, and streaming has just continued to grow in 2 years. So, not entirely. It's just been so much buzz for how Taylor was going to come back. Nothing leaked. It just, the way you could hear it Friday night at midnight when it came out was to go stream it. So, I wasn't really that surprised. Were you?
I mean, 80 million is a lot. And I know it's kind of lined up perfectly with, I mean, it's on all the platforms. And there's been much to be made from the last album about her war with Spotify in particular and a little trouble with Apple Music there for about a day and a half. I mean, two videos does help as well. I mean, she had the lyric video out the same day as the song came out. And then right. A few days later followed up with the music video. Which is certainly one of her most talked about videos because it has so many little Easter eggs and references and sort of, you know, takedowns that I think a lot of people weren't expecting. Maybe didn't think that Taylor Swift had this same kind of, you know, like, gotta see it video.
Yeah, it's a mini movie. It really is. And no, that's a good point. You made that earlier in the week on Facebook Live that maybe that's helping drive streams because you want to keep going back and see what you maybe missed as some reference to, ooh, she's dissing that person too.
Yeah, and I was even watching some of those because, of course, the nice thing about those kind of things is that they always generate the reaction videos. And I saw some of them over the past week, and there were some Easter eggs in there that I didn't even realize. I mean, I don't know if you saw this one. Even in the graveyard at the beginning, when she's like, you know, is crawling out of the earth. One of the, do you notice what headstone is like, not, is like to the left of her on the screen?
No.
It's, she's killed off, I guess, Neil Sorberg, whoever the alias that she used when she was writing This Is What You Came For, right. Calvin Harris. That person is like in the graveyard on the left. I didn't even, you know, I wouldn't even pay attention to that.
Poor Neil's.
And then, Niels is dead. I mean, that's part of the whole Taylor makeover. And then, of course, the references, like people have noted to, you know, Katy Perry with the Grammy, crashing the car, the idea that she, you know, dominates and makes these, you know, the squad, her minions or whatever, who are these robots. I mean, those obviously are pretty overt. But even some of the subtle ones, I mean, the attention to detail in the video is top notch.
Yeah, no, it's really smart in the streaming era to make a video that you need to keep watching. Or I'm not sure if she thought that, but it certainly works well for consumption and the charts.
Yeah, I mean, even just one more I thought of. I forgot when she like does the sort of the formation video, the line that everyone was talking about when they saw that screenshot where it's like her like flanked with the guys in the black. You notice they're all wearing I Love TS shirts. Flashback to when Tom Hiddleston wore that shirt, all the paparazzi were, you know, kind of going crazy about that. So even, you know, even little things like that, it's crazy. But yeah, I mean, the point being that things like that definitely would generate a lot more clicks as people watch it 6-7 times maybe to try and catch all the references. And that is 6-7 more streams. In any case, all that contributing to the record-breaking week of streaming. Second highest by any song ever. The only one other song has eclipsed Taylor Swift that you can go after. That is, of course, 2013 smash hit Harlem Shake by Bauer. Now, of course, as you guys know, a lot of that was driven by a lot of the user-generated clips, a lot of the viral clips that went around, whether it was, I remember, like, the swimming team at one of the universities had that underwater one that was viral. So, you know, I mean, the record is the record with Harlem Shake, but obviously helped very much so by users, whereas this Taylor one is really just focusing on the artist and the song and their product.
Maybe if Taylor could have fit in one more reference in the new video, maybe something about Bauer. Maybe she should have done something about that, Harlem Shake. Like, I need to tell Taylor Swift video tips.
Can't hurt, right?
All right, so all that this week on the Hot 100. Reputation, the album is coming November 10th. So we were wondering, we said this at the beginning of the podcast, Will Taylor Swift be the artist of the decade based on the Hot 100 performance, Billboard 200? So a lot of factors go into it. We figured we'd look at who's been the number one artist of every year so far this decade, and just kind of look at what chances they have going forward with 2.5 years left.
2 years, 3 months or so, yeah.
All right, so let's go back to the beginning. 2010, Lady Gaga was the number one artist of the year. 2011, Adele. 2012, Adele again. 2013, Bruno Mars. 2014, One Direction. 2015, Taylor Swift. And 2016, Adele, third artist of the year win through the decade. And if we actually went back to 2009, Taylor Swift was artist of the year for 2009, but that doesn't matter.
But that's the old decade. And just so people know, it's not as if you just, you know, the fact that Adele has been artist of the year three times, it's not as if
right.
you just add them up and say, well, she was artist of the year more than anybody. So that's not how it quite works.
Right. But that's a good point that of the 7 years so far in the decade, 2010 to 2016, Adele has been the number one artist of the year three of those times. No one else has more than one, including Taylor. So she wants to look at that and see who maybe has the best chances going forward, also factoring in who'll have new music out in the next couple of years.
Certainly.
So if you go back to 2010, Lady Gaga, I think it's pretty clear at this point she just kind of moved in a different direction from that huge beginning she had in 2009, 2010, when she was just totally ruling pop. She's kind of segued over to the Tony Bennett music and just hasn't had the same impact on pop. So I think it would be surprising at this point if she is still in the running for overall number one like she was at the beginning of the decade.
Yeah, like you said, I mean, the numbers quite not there like they used to be. I still, though, will say that I don't think there's been a performer or any kind of artist who has captured the public imagination so quickly out of the gate like Lady Gaga did. I mean, you know, because everyone else, I mean, Adele's, even your Taylor's, like, I mean, they were at least one album deep, maybe two by the time they kind of made this mainstream push. I mean, I just remember looking back, you know, Lady Gaga really came out of nowhere. I mean, Just Dance was obviously number one hit, and it put her on the radar, but it was really Poker Face, I think, that solidified her to that next level. And then instantly it was like, Love Game and Paparazzi and Bad Romance. Right. I mean, all those coming out within the same year, it was like...
She just arrived as a fully formed entertainer, too. It was the costumes and just the whole image. So
yeah.
It was fun. And pop music was really at a high point back then. It had really come back after hip-hop had been so huge for most of the 2000s. So, and those were just, such great songs out of the gate.
And she was the pop star that I think a lot of people really were looking for. Maybe Beyonce is the only kind of comparable example, but someone who sings very well, not even just, is up there kind of, not lip syncing, not mouthing, but sings well, writes her own material, has a full package. I mean, she can really, deliver it all. I mean, the MTV VMAs performance, Paparazzi, still one of the best to this day.
So we mentioned, we'll get to Adele more closely in a second, but we mentioned Bruno Mars, number one for 2013. He'll have another big year this year, having a comeback.
Yeah.
So he's certainly in the discussion. So that's Bruno. One Direction, 2014. As huge as they've been, we may not get another album from them this decade. We might not. But so much solo success at this point, I think it would be kind of surprising to think that they're going to come back and take over. Although if they did, it would be a huge deal if there was all of a sudden new music from them.
Yeah. I mean, it feels like, these things lend themselves better to tours and or award show performances or something like that. I mean, a full album, such an effort from all five of those guys. And then you wonder if it would even be all five, would Zayn come back? And of course, like you mentioned, I mean, no matter what they ended up doing, it would be a massive, massive movement. But we really haven't seen, I mean, a lot of these groups who sort of disband in this way come back together for any kind of album. I mean, the Backstreet Boys were a pretty rare exception when they had the 2005 album, but,
So those are all in the running. There's three other acts I think are worth discussing as well, who we haven't mentioned yet for possible biggest names of the decade. But just Taylor versus Adele, it's really interesting. We said how Adele has three titles in the 2000s for number one artist of 2011, 2012. It's all based off the 21 album, just had 2 years where it was that big. And then 2016, last year, she was the number one artist of last year. So she's been the number one artist of the year three times so far this decade. But in the other years, 2010, 13, 14, and 15, she didn't rank in the top 10. So it's kind of been all or nothing. When she comes around, she's huge, but then she takes these breaks. Whereas Taylor Swift was was the number one artist of 2015. But we looked at the top 10 every year of this decade. Other than last year, she didn't rank in the top 10. 2016, kind of a quiet, almost off year for Taylor. Before that, this was her ranks for overall artist of the year, 2010 through 15, 2, 8, 3, 2, 4, and then 1. So almost every year this decade, she's been in the top 5, or the 1 year in 2011, top 10. So Adele has been number 1 3 times, but for those other 4 years, she didn't rank at all in the top 10. Taylor Swift has been 1 for 1 year, 2015, but in all those other years other than last year, she plays pretty highly. So just based on that, you can kind of see, without getting too deep in the numbers, that consistency is probably going to really help when it comes to the end of the decade. Plus, the new album hasn't even come out yet. It'll really raise her numbers for this year and probably have hit singles into next year. So you can almost put 2018 in there as well for Taylor, and then it's just up to 2019.
Well, of course, that also begs the big question of, you know, how many more albums will Adele put out this decade?
Right.
Because, like you said, I mean, when she puts one out, it becomes this massive moment that really overshadows everything. And it's gotten her to number one every, you know, without fail, really, this entire decade. So, you know, of course, people will be wondering. And given the last album came out in 2015, do you think there's plenty of time for her to put out a new album? I mean, 2018, maybe early 2019. Of course, she puts it out in late 2019. That kind of, you know, is game over in terms of helping her out that decade. But maybe at the end of 2018, maybe. I see you have written down here that it could be 28 or 29.
I was going to say, we have the headlines written already. Will it be called 28? Will it be called 29?
You know, well, Adele said last time, she said she might just call the next one just Adele.
Right.
I think she's done with the number trifecta, though it obviously has served her quite well.
And three other artists, certainly worth bringing up for just the huge decade they've had so far and continue to be having. Rihanna, Justin Bieber, and Drake. Rihanna has been in the top 10 in 2010, 11, 12, 13, and 16. She was number 2 for both 2011 and 2012, behind Adele both years. So she just kind of ran into Adele both of those years. But she's had that consistency. Bieber has had 4 top 10 finishes. He was number 2 last year, also behind Adele. And Drake, 4 top 10 finishes. He was number 3 last year. And you figure Drake is going to have more new music this decade. Bieber, sure. New album on the way. Rihanna, she's been so consistent. So I kind of wonder if those are the 5 artists we're going to be looking at as the top 5 for this decade when we get to 2020. Taylor, Adele, Drake, Bieber, and Rihanna.
I mean, those are all very solid picks. I mean, I think Rihanna in particular is an interesting case because so many projects out there, so many features, has kind of slowed down the trajectory of the albums that she put out not quite as often lately. But I think in terms, especially with, she keeps these features up, and we see how big Wild Thoughts is. We see how, you know, she collaborates with anybody and everybody. I mean, on the Kendrick album, I mean, I'm sure some new tunes probably with some of her go-to partners, Drake on his next album, most likely. You could see maybe even Jay-Z or whatnot. So you do enough collaborations, I mean, they add up the same way.
And just looking back to 2010, how long ago it was at this point, Black Eyed Peas were number 7. Fergie has now left the band.
Yes, Fergie is no longer a permanent P.
And Kesha, who's back on the charts now, obviously, but she has since lost the dollar sign from her name.
Yeah. Times have changed.
December 2019. We'll find out then.
Put a pin in it. We'll find. Yeah.
All right. Our first guest on the phone. Should we try to get the old Taylor?
Okay.
Should we call the old Taylor and see if she's alive?
I...
Maybe it's changed since the video came out. Maybe she's not dead. Maybe she's been resuscitated.
Maybe they had some great CPR and a good heart surgeon can make it work.
Let me dial here. Let's see what. Okay. Ooh, I think she's gonna pick up. Ready? That's a clip of Better Man by Lil Big Town, proving to me that the old Taylor is not dead.
Boo.
Is that a letdown? Expecting.
Ooh, Gary, you gave him a clickbait headline, and God, now you got to pay up.
No, well, earlier this year in February, Better Man, written by Taylor Swift, had 2 weeks at number one on the Hot Country Songs charts. That's just a few months ago. And that, to me, is totally the old Taylor. That's a song that she would have had on her first or second album, country ballad. And just lyrically, too, it's more that in the head of Taylor Swift, the relationship type song, which, you know, now she's doing songs more about, you know, who's wronged her. You know, it's always been a part of her sound from the beginning, but feels like we're not getting those same type of love songs, the really analytical relationship type songs. So if she's saying that's dead, I respectfully disagree with Taylor that just a few months ago we got a song that was totally the old Taylor.
Also an interesting sense of timing right there. She also got a nomination for the Country Music Awards we saw for this particular song. Maybe some folks are hoping she might show up and perform, which, correct me if I'm wrong, that award show is in early November, which will be the same time, maybe the same week,
right,
as the album comes out. So maybe Nashville and Taylor Swift aren't over just as soon as people... maybe Nashville and Taylor Swift aren't as over as people think they might be.
Right.
Who knows? I'm just speculating, but I think that's interesting.
I have her number. I can call. I'll try to find it.
There you go. Give New Taylor a call, too, while you're at it.
And, you know, it really, you know, just kind of shines a spotlight on some of the biggest acts ever have had these old versus new sounds. You go back to the Beatles. You listen to something like She Loves You. That's totally different than stuff they were doing in the late 60s. And, you know, sort of an early version of the old Taylor is Dead in All You Need Is Love. They put in that little clip of She Loves You at the end, sort of that little wink and nod at how our sound has totally changed. So the Beatles have done that. Elvis, you know, early Elvis was different than later Elvis when he went into gospel and country. And we mentioned Gaga before. She started doing pop and dance, and the most recent stuff we've heard from her in recent years, other than the Joanne album, but the Tony Bennett music. So some of the biggest stars, they're creative. They don't want to be boxed in. It's just where the creative mind goes. You wind up with all these different sounds, and you know, it's really up to fans to pick and choose whichever you like. So it's part of music history, what Taylor's doing right now in terms of the way her sound is changing a little bit, even more on this album. On to the stuff, again, that really is so much more important, what's going on in Houston this week. So we're going to talk to three programmers right now here on the podcast of talking about just really how radio can be so important at a time when a community really needs it. It's what radio's always been about, and it's really getting a chance to show that right now with all the devastation going on in Houston. Just real quick, Trevor, you're from Houston. Your family okay? Everybody okay
in
Houston?
I'm not getting interviewed, Gary. Yes, I am from Houston. As you know, as far as I'm aware, everyone is doing okay. I mean, it's been, you know, at this point, it's been a little while since most of the terrible devastation has come through. And I think from what I'm just seeing from friends and posts on Facebook, things are slowly but surely starting to settle back into a little bit of normalcy. People certainly anxious and eager to get out and kind of do things that they're used to doing, resume their normal lives. The sun shining for the first time in a while, getting to be kind of warm. So hoping to get some of that water dried up as well. But yeah, in general, I mean, we made it out okay. I know plenty of others did not, and you know, hopefully they're able to recover quickly and get back on their feet.
All right, so we're going to talk to two groups of programmers, and then we'll start with Johnny Chang at the Cox Media Group. They oversee three stations, so it was really nice of Johnny to take a few minutes. As you'll hear, he's just been totally hunkered down at the station for about that first week after the storm hit, and we talked to him last Thursday, so that's when this is timed in terms of weather. But Johnny Chang on the Billboard Sharpie podcast talking about how radio is helping Houston get through everything right now. Johnny Chang, Cox Media Group Director of Operations, thanks so much for joining us here on the Billboard Chuppie podcast on what has to be a crazy time here.
Well, you're welcome. Thank you for having me on. And yeah, it's a little nutty here in Houston. It's been a crazy week, and it certainly looks like we'll be dealing with the aftermath of this storm months, if not years.
Right. So just so people know, we're taping this on August 31st. It'll run a week from now. I heard the sun actually has finally come out for the first time after just days of nothing but torrential rain, right?
Yes. Weather started getting bad. We started feeling it Thursday night, early Friday morning. And then Friday night was landfall. And then ever since then, it was just nothing but rain. Sometimes very heavy, sometimes not. This was not a wind hurricane, at least certainly not in Houston, so we didn't have that kind of issue. But it was just the nonstop deluge of rain. And yesterday, sun came out, and the worst is over, I'm glad to say. I'm looking out my window right now. You never guess anything happened to the city. I mean, it's beautiful blue skies and everything. However, in the areas that were hit hardest by the rain, by the flooding, it's a long ways to, until normalcy for them. It's going to take a long time for the waters to recede. But we're still dealing with all the levees and so on. There's a lot of reservoirs that we're hoping the water will go down and not spill further into neighborhoods.
Yeah, and if we have any listeners out there in particular who are familiar with the Houston area, where exactly are you guys based in the city?
The stations are in the area. Technically, it's Uptown Houston, but everyone calls it the Galleria. So we're about 15-20 minutes away from downtown. So we're in the heart of the city. And this area, we fared well. We fared very well. But the hardest hit area is probably the Fort Bend County, which is southwest of the city and where the Brazos River runs through. And a lot of neighborhoods there are underwater, as well as other parts of north of Houston as well. So,
yeah, I'm from Houston myself, so I know that area pretty well. And I saw some of the images, like even 610, I mean, right there, probably not far from you guys, you know, the freeways were in particular just like pools of rain really collected.
Oh my God! Yeah, it's there's certain parts, and it's in the heart of the city. There by the Buffalo Bayou, going towards downtown. I mean, that was filled all the way up, and for 3 days, all the walkways, all the bike trails, the neighboring roads, you couldn't see it. And last night, I was driving around a little bit, going to check on a friend, and we went by Beltway 8 by I-10. Which is just towards the west of the city,
right,
and not that far out. And the Beltway was a lake. I mean, it's incredible. You're standing there, you're looking at the freeway, and the only thing that's popping up above the water are the freeway signs. Mm,
Yeah.
And that's a major artery, for the city. So. Yeah, it's we've got a lot to deal with in the upcoming months.
So much, so many serious things about this. But there's sort of a funny quote you had for another Billboard story. How you said that you and the staff have been at the station pretty much nonstop. You said you've gained 10 pounds eating unhealthy food that you guys had at the station. You didn't have anything else.
Pretty much. I mean, one good thing about a storm is you get a little bit of a heads up on when it's coming. I'm from California, so I'm used to earthquakes. It happens. But yeah, we stocked up. From Costco and Sam's Club, all the food for the staff, and then we got hotel rooms for the on-air staff, social staff, and we started getting hunkered down Friday. And most of the content team was up here with me, so we stayed at the station from Friday night, and it wasn't until last night. Last night was the first night since Friday that I got to sleep in my own bed.
So you were at the station for about a week straight, not leaving at all?
Pretty much, yeah. Wow. I slept on my couch. Yeah, and my team, my jocks, we got them hotel rooms across the street, so they got to go across the street, at least rest up, shower and whatnot. We have a couple of meeting rooms here at the station that we doubled as bedrooms, so we were well taken care of.
So how does programming change in a time like this? Are you still playing music? Did you cut in with news? And even if you are playing music, the whole tone changes, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Things started changing Friday. And, yes, we made the decision. Well, I mean, again, everything was fluid. So initially we turned all of the – basically all talk – positions, all talk content on the station, all social content on the stations became information, weather information. So everything else, you know, normal programming and whatnot was thrown out the window. But we made the decision to keep playing music. KKBQ, the new 93Q, which is a modern country station. KGLK, which is the Eagle, 106.9 and 107.5 simulcast. It's classic rock. And we have a classic country, KTHT, Country Legends, so on 97.1. So we have three stations, and all three we staffed up to be live and local 24/7. And but we kept playing music. But we broke in, I mean, you know, anywhere from, depending on the hour, anywhere from 4 to 8 times an hour with information. The jocks have free reign to pull whatever imaging, whatever station element they needed to pull to jump on to give information.
Did you feel that keeping with music, for the most part, provides a little normalcy? I mean, maybe it's comforting for people with everything going on?
Absolutely, and that was the overwhelming factor, because we you know, that was a big deal. We talked about it. I talked about it with my market manager, with my VP of programming, and the biggest factor was that this storm, for Houston at least, was not a wind event. It was a rain event. So the winds never got too strong, so we weren't dealing with that kind of destruction. So it was rain. And we knew it was going to be flooding, so we thought it would be best if we kept playing music. And in fact, you know what? Throughout the weekend, we had a whole bunch of social posts and people calling in and said, thank you. no joke. I was getting ready for any kind of, if there was going to be any potential backlash, I was kind of getting ready for it, and we could pivot on a dime. But we were actually getting quite positive feedback from our listeners that, hey, thank God you're still on the air. You know, thank God you're still playing music.
Yeah, you know, my family, who's down in Houston right now, I think that's a great point about it not being a wind hurricane, but so people aren't, you know, dealing with broken windows or those kind of things. I mean, a lot of people are just stuck in their homes, and they have, you know, nothing to do. I mean, and so this is a great escape for them.
You hit it perfectly on the nose. That was the overwhelming factor that we took into consideration.
Yeah. I also want to ask, I know sort of radio had a response back in 2012 and in the Newtown incident that happened. At the time, Kesha's song Die Young was really popular, and I know a lot of radio programmers pulled that song just because of what had happened. Were there any songs in particular that you guys avoided playing, or any songs that you sort of added to the rotation, whether they were Houston-based songs or happier songs? Did you change the lineup in any kind of way based on the situation?
We didn't add anything. We didn't change anything. It's certainly on KGLK, we were real careful not to play the Scorpions' "Rocky Like a Hurricane," but that's pretty much it. I mean, you know, on KKBQ, we know this is a song by Luke Combs called "Hurricane," but we kept playing it. No one said anything. I mean, you know, obviously the song's not about, you know, the weather.
Well, this is one of those times where you always talk about radio really shines, and times when the community really needs that. And it's always said that that's something that radio can really be comforting when something like this happens.
Absolutely. It's during times like this, you know, and radio is still supremely relevant. And times like this, we're the only ones. I mean, you know. People lose power. They're not watching TV. We are the ones helping them through this. Hell, we're helping each other through this.
You mentioned at the top, we started chatting about how this is really just the beginning of what's going to be a really long recovery period. What, in the short term and long term, how do you see the stations being helpful in the community going forward?
Oh, absolutely. It's right now we're already working on everything on the air is about relief. Everything on air is about, helping, you know, going to a Red Cross and so on. But we're working on a cluster-wide 2-day broadcast for next week to raise funds for relief efforts. And I think that's going to be an ongoing thing. I think regular programming in terms of promotions and morning show benchmarks, that kind of stuff, we will not be touching that stuff for weeks. Because I think the next few weeks, all we will be doing is, one, the city will still be assessing damage, because there are thousands of people who probably won't even be able to get back to their neighborhoods until next week, until the waters recede to a level where it's safe for them to get back. And so I think from a radio perspective, we will be doing weekly relief efforts, you know, raising funds, telethons, or whatever, radiothons. Initially, it's obviously for the folks who have been displaced, the folks who need things, but then there are other things that you need to think about. You know, we need to take care of the first responders, you know, who've been out there working their tails off, putting themselves in danger for our communities. And we need to think about all the animals that need help. You know, people tend to forget that sometimes. Well, I'm sure we'll be reaching out to SPCA Humane Society and a lot of local rescues and whatnot, and so on and so on. There's going to be so much to do.
Radio can help so much in times like this. So really, just thank you for taking a few minutes, Johnny, in the middle of everything, just to chat with us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on.
All right. Johnny Chang on the Billboard Choppy podcast from Cox Media Group, overseeing the stations there in Houston. Let's keep it in Houston. We also got on the phone from Radio 1, programming team of Terry Thomas and DJ Riddler. Same kind of thing, talking about how radio is so key to helping a community with information and companionship when a community really needs it. So we'll keep it here talking to Houston Radio right now. Terry Thomas and DJ Riddler from Radio 1 on the Billboard Choppy podcast. Thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you for having us.
I feel like this is one of the times where we can say this. We're talking to one of your competitors in Houston, Johnny Chang, over at the Cox Media Group stations. Does this feel like one of those times when those competitions between radio groups kind of lessens a little bit and you guys all come together for the community?
I mean, I think radio is at its finest. I mean, this really shows, unfortunately, tragedy reminds the larger community, the industry, as a matter of fact, why live and local radio matters. So I think for all of us, you know, in the marketplace, we're all stepping up, seeing what our listeners specifically need, because we all service various parts of the Houston community, and making sure that we're taking care of those needs. So, you know, we're just thinking about going out and making sure that we get help to where people need it the most. I mean, people are still being rescued at this point. There's still areas that are very much flooded. People are shut in. It's a pretty hectic situation here in Houston.
It sounded like Johnny and his team have been at the station for about a week straight. You guys have been at your stations too, right?
Yeah, we've been here since Friday morning at 5 a.m. Thursday, when we heard, you know, it looked like it was seriously getting ready to hit. You know, I went out, we got supplies for a small team that would be staying here at the radio station, literally camped out. And, you know, Mad Hatter and some different folks were here, you know, at the station. I had a team of six that stayed up here with me, including my dog, because they had nowhere else for him to be. So he was with me, which is the best place to be. So, you know, we just stayed on the air. And Riddler wasn't able to get here. He's got small children and his mother-in-law and his wife at home, but he worked from home. God bless technology. This is one of the things where technology has really been a benefit and helped a lot of us in radio, because our traffic people were able to get in remotely from home, and Riddler was able to get in remotely from home and, you know, keep a Radio Now team updated on the air as well.
What are some of the ways we always say how radio is so great when something like this happens, but what are some of the specifics? Like, what does radio actually do to help people through something like this when this happens?
One of the things that came to fruition here in Houston was really neighbors helping neighbors. Our first responders were amazing, but as you can imagine, completely overwhelming the 911 lines. I mean, you know, resources were stretched to the thinnest. So what happens in those cases? Well, you know, the good people here in Houston, good people in Texas, and we had even the Cajun Navy, which are just some regular guys and gals from Louisiana who have boats, you know, came into Houston. And so where radio comes in is we were able to connect people with people and provide help. So if you were stuck in your home, you know, on the roof or whatever the situation was, we could put the call out there and basically connect citizens with citizens and, you know, able to get people help. And so that was a huge part of the effort. And that's a huge part of why radio matters. That's why it's important to be, you know, live and local. That's why radio is important. It's just important. Nobody else can do it like radio can in that way.
And to further add to that, as well as being on the air, being able to obviously give important information, we used our social media to directly connect with the listeners and give them the information of how they can help other people stranded. Terry, you can probably vouch for this. You had some of your own staff doing that on social media.
Yeah, I had staff members that maybe couldn't get here, but were doing a lot, connecting people. There were people stranded asking for help, people that needed milk. There was, you know, people with babies. There's been some births during this whole thing where people, you know, were in labor needing some assistance. So social media has also been a huge factor. And, you know, we're very aggressive with our social media here. So, you know, having the following, you know, the numbers like on some of our following for some of our stations is pretty robust. So, you know, we were also able to use that platform, and our team was using social media platform to do that, you know, finding out where help was needed. And then, you know, people just opening up assistance. So somebody their house may be okay. So they were opening up their house to people so we could help connect them and get the word out, you know, for even things like that. And there's a graphic that we posted on our social media, was talking about, you know, watch Houston, watch Texas show the rest of the country and the world what it's like for people to come together. Because there's a lot of discord and a lot of strife going on in our country. And, you know, that's been prevalent in the news. It's unfortunate that a natural disaster is something that it takes for people to be reminded that we have more in common than we don't. And why people need to put aside differences of race or sexual orientation or religious beliefs and understand that we are all of the human race and come together. We have way more in common than we don't. So, you know, there's proud Texans here, and certainly there's a spirit of, you know, we are strong, we will survive, and there's an opportunity for Texans to come together and show the rest of the world what community can really be about.
That sounds right, Trevor, as a Houston native yourself.
Yeah, I was going to say, as a Texan myself, born and raised, Texas is a very friendly culture. I think a lot of people sort of misunderstand that, Houston in particular. I do also want to ask, you know, a lot of people, you know, in the Houston area, like I said, I'm from there myself, you know, underestimated the severity of this storm, and I think more than anything, the length of it. Did you guys, from your perspective, did you expect that this would be happening? I mean, I think some people thought that maybe, you know, a day or two of rain would have happened and you'd be back to normal programming. So how did your coverage or approach, you know, change as you saw this was, you know, carrying on for more days, more and more people being affected, and the end wasn't coming nearly as soon as people thought it might?
You know, I think we don't think about it. I think that, you know, we prepare because we always prepare. I mean, I've been here, 12 plus years? And I've been through this three other times in Houston. So one thing I will say is we always prepare. When the word gets out and it looks like it's coming, we make the preparations necessary. But when you're in it, you don't even think about it because you're just in the zone. You're in the mode of just powering through, gutting it out. And, you know, we don't really think about it. I think the relief comes when, you know, you see a glimpse of sunshine and you're like, oh, wow, I just saw the sun come out. And then it hits you that you've been, you know, here on the air for 5 days with, you know, a 2-hour nap in between, you know. So I think that for us, we didn't think about it. We just said, you know, we just powered it out. We were consciously unconscious, I guess, if that makes any sense.
And so, like you said, you've been there for 12 years, so you were there probably during Hurricane Ike, I remember in 2008,
yes.
Probably Hurricane Rita, the great, yes, I-45 nightmare that any Texan, I'm sure, remembers. So how did those experiences help you, you know, knowing what you're going in through with this one?
Well, I think it just informs you to take it seriously because, you know, Rita was bad, but Ike was but it wasn't as bad as people thought it was going to be. And then Ike was devastating. And then, you know, Katrina was before that. And, you know, being in Houston, that greatly affected Houston because, you know, we became a safe haven. And a lot of folks from Louisiana, you know, we were providing shelter. And a lot of people ended up moving here and you know, and didn't end up going back. So it changed the face of the city and it changed a lot about the culture here. And, you know, it embraced that. I think that's also part of the reason why you saw a lot of people like the Cajun Navy from Louisiana didn't even hesitate. I mean, these are regular citizens that, you know, it's almost like, you know, their version of a motorcycle club, except it's their Cajun Navy and they have these boats. I mean, they just mobilized immediately. So I think that the past experiences and, you know, just continues, you know, one, you take it seriously, you prepare anyway, because you just don't know whether it's completely unpredictable. And then, you know, we knew then, we knew years ago when we were going through that, what the community needed. And it reminds you, you know, in a day and age where everything is, you know, syndication and stations are going down to skeleton staff and it's like one live person and, you know, there's no other staff there or stations or, you know, because of the economics of our industry, you know, don't have a lot to work with. It's just really an exclamation point on the fact that, you know, radio can be a difference maker. And the original thing for me, why I got in radio, is the ability to make a difference in somebody's day every day. And, you know, this reminds you that radio, nobody can do it like radio. Nobody can. Nobody can connect those dots in the moment and connect people with people like radio can. And so it just always is a reminder when you're thinking that you see the industry shrinking and you see a lot of the opportunities fading away, it just reminds you why our industry is so valid.
And of course, as you mentioned so many times, a lot of this is all, really all of this is really facing the community. And so what kind of community response have you seen? Have people been calling in more or are active on social media? You know, you mentioned also there's a pretty wide swath of stations from hip hop stations, R&B, pop. What's the general response been like?
Well, I mean, I think that it's really, since we were in the midst of it, I mean, the first night where it's in the fullness of the hurricane, it's a little quiet, you know, we're more in the giving out mode and reassuring people. And then, you know, as things start to happen, you know, people, they're picking up the phone, they're wanting to hear a voice, they're wanting to know they're not alone. So I would say that the response from the community, you know, like we had a team go down to the George R. Brown yesterday and you know, kind of crazy, but it's almost like, oh my God, it's Mad Hatter, oh my God, it's so-and-so, oh my God, it's so-and-so. You know, it's just, you know, for them, it, the, you know, folks are just happy to know that we're here and that, you know, they can count on us. And I think that's, you know, certainly been a thing. But, you know, the community at large, I mean, there's a million people, individuals and businesses that are stepping up to donate. You have people opening their doors. You've got, there's a hotel here that just said, hey, if you need somewhere to stay, we've got you at no charge. You know, Uber locally, hey, we'll give you free rides to a shelter. You know, there's been a lot of that. So you see that thing happening and you're seeing people calling in and saying, hey, you know, I've got, you know, diapers or I was able to find a store with this and, you know, can you connect me with somewhere that I can take it? In fact, somebody, and I don't know who, so I can't properly give credit, but there's even someone who had the thought to come up with a way to create a text where you can text your zip code to a particular phone number and they will text you back with what the shelter is in your area that either you can go to or that you can volunteer at. I mean, so somebody had to be thinking of that in order for that to even happen. So I think the community, I mean, I'm just proud to be here and I'm proud of the people here.
And to further add to that, just before we had this call, and you don't even know this, I was taking lots of calls this morning during my air shift, which is still on. A local hairdresser, they are amassing a bunch of hair salon stylists to go over to George R. Brown convention to give people haircuts and you know, take care of people while they're out there. So we've been getting a lot of those calls, and like Terry said, people just wanting to help.
And I think the other thing too is that, you know, people have been calling us locally from other radio, and from other, you know, places in the industry. So Michael Bivens from Belle Biv DeVoe, I'm from Boston originally, so there's definitely that East Coast connection for me personally. But he's been checking on me every day and, you know, been on the phone with him over the course of the past 2 days. They're doing a benefit in Boston to benefit Houston. Belle Biv DeVoe is putting that together. And then you have other radio companies, you know, that are doing something to help, and you know, we're even doing an effort between our sister stations in Dallas and Houston. We're doing DFW to H-Town, where they're mobilizing as we speak, you know, creating donation locations, and we've already identified locally a place for, you know, those donations to go. We're working with the Houston Independent School District on the first round of immediate relief. So I would say that radio and even non-Radio 1, I mean, these folks are not Radio 1 folks except for our sister stations in Dallas, but, you know, someone in Birmingham, there's Pennsylvania, there's various people across the country, there's DJs. I've got one of my DJs, GTs. He's had DJs from across the country PayPaling him money so he could go out and buy supplies to take to shelters. I mean, it's a local effort, it's a statewide effort, and then you just see people opening their hearts from across the country and finding ways to make a difference and to get help to people individually. Sometimes if you really step back and look at just how people have opened their hearts, I mean, it can be a little overwhelming, because sometimes when you're going through a disaster, you need to be reminded that you matter. You need to be reminded that somebody sees you. And, you know, I think that that is definitely coming through on this one.
While we have you guys here, and this totally pales into importance level of anything else, but since you guys have the top 40 station, KROI, and in the interest of normalcy, can we ask you one music question about the station?
Yes.
The new Taylor Swift song. Huge week on the Billboard charts this week. You guys are playing it. What's your take on the song?
I had it scheduled. As soon as I got it at 11 o'clock, I had it playing every hour on the first day. But, you know, our audience, they love the song. Is this going to be a Taylor Swift song that we'll be playing 10 years from now? I don't know.
It might be hard to get a gauge for us in this particular moment.
Yeah.
But I mean, for us, when Taylor Swift drops a record, you know, we get busy. I mean,
it's an event.
It's an event for us. And she's earned that, you know, she's certainly earned that. So we'll see on this particular song what the longevity is. But I think the other thing just to note is, you know, Taylor is evolving. I mean, she's maturing as a woman. And so she's going to stretch out creatively. She's going to try different things as she steps more fully into who she is and who she wants to be as a person. And so I would expect to continue to see the evolution of Taylor Swift, and that should and will be reflected through her music. And we've seen it with some other superstars, you know, like another Houston gal, Beyonce, for example, mm-hmm. who's, you can certainly chart the evolution of what she's, you know, she's been doing musically as well. And I think we'll see that from Taylor.
Fun just to talk music, right, for a few minutes. A nice little distraction with everything going on, right?
Yeah. Music is always a great, great distraction for anything.
That's what makes it wonderful, yeah.
All right, guys. Well, thank you so much. Great to hear what everyone is doing, not even just Houston, the people in other cities, other radio companies, everyone just coming together. That's the most important thing right now. So great to hear the work you guys are doing, and the continued best of everything going forward. It's going to be a long time before things are back to whatever normal might be. But great to hear how you guys are helping that cause move forward.
Yeah, best of luck, guys.
Well, thank you.
Terry Thomas and DJ Riddler on the Billboard Chartbeat podcast from Radio 1 in Houston. We had to ask about Taylor Swift.
Yeah, I like how you snuck that one in there, Gary. But yeah, I mean, they're aware too. I mean, even in sort of times of crisis, you know, Taylor Swift is on the people's minds.
All right. So really nice of both Johnny and Terry and DJ Riddler to take time from, as they were saying, you know, living at the station, living across the street. And it's going to be a long time before things really get back to normal in Houston. So, again, nice of them just to chat about that. And you know, one of those good things about radio that it's there for people. I thought it was a good point that was made that when electricity goes out, as old-fashioned as it sounds, it is still completely true in 2017. If you have batteries in your radio,
that's it.
That's all you need.
I mean, and I almost wonder how many people even have sort of a portable radio or batteries to this day. I'm sure probably the sales are going to go up in the next couple of weeks as people start to recover from this. And hopefully, you know, not to get too morbid, but, you know, there's another storm out there that seems to be making its way westward. So hopefully you know, wherever it ends up landing. Hopefully the devastation is not nearly to this degree, and people are able to bounce back quickly. But you know, I'm sure wherever it ends up landing, that radio station and that community will hopefully have the same effect.
All right, more Houston right now for our flashback this week on the Champion Podcast.
Yes. Oh, we were thinking about what to do this week, and it only felt right to kind of keep the Houston vibe going. And certainly, I think because, you know, once these disasters kind of get off the front page of the news, people kind of think that, oh, well, it's over. So we definitely want to send our thoughts to Houston. And in particular, hopefully we can lift some spirits out of anybody who's from the Houston area who may know some of these songs. You know, every kind of big city has a couple of those songs that somehow, if you're from that city, you know and you love because the radio plays them so often and they become sort of city anthems. But if you're not from that city, you may never have even heard of this. And you're like, where did this come from?
I hadn't heard of this song.
This I know has got to be one of those songs. So we're going to celebrate this flashback, looking back, 1998. Lil Kiki. See, Lil was even a thing way back in 98. Lil Kiki and Southside. If you don't know this song, I don't know what to tell you. I mean, I'll give you a break, though. I mean, it was not, you know, the biggest hit across the board. Hit number 55 on the Hot R&B Hip Hop Songs chart
right. Back
in the day. But if you are from Houston, Texas, you know this song. You better know this song. If you don't know this song, lie to somebody and swear you know this song. And if you can do the Southside Dance, if you know the Southside Dance, get up and do it. This is Southside by Lil Kiki.
Got a peep game, you know what I'm saying? Cause I'm Texas from the south, and Louisiana from the south, and Mississippi from the south, Atlanta, Georgia from the south. That's why we doing the south side, the south side, yeah, the south side, the south side. Everybody do the south side.
Too good, Gary. All right, well, thank you guys for tuning in to another awesome week. It felt kind of good to do the regular style again. It had been a while. Yeah, we had to dust it off, but I think we made it through.
Yeah.
So, of course, as always, be sure to tune in again next week. The big question on the frontier will be, is Taylor going to hold it down at number one with this song? Or perhaps is Ready For It going to make the big challenge and knock Taylor from number one herself? And, of course, there are other plenty non-Taylor Swift songs in the equation as well. I'm sure the Lambs and the Believers will be watching to see if Despacito can sneak back for an unprecedented 17th week at number one on the Hot 100.
Right.
Cardi B also holding strong in the top three once again this week with Bodak Yellow. So she's still definitely in the equation. And, I mean, at this point, you know, we're in such a surprise release game that maybe somebody else just barrels through. I mean, there's a lot to be talking about.
All right. We'll find out next week. And should we close with more Houston music, Trevor?
We should. You know, we kind of brought up a little Kiki right there. I mean, I'm sure plenty of people are at least aware that Houston, like most southern cities, has a budding rap culture. And there are a lot of rap hit makers that have come out of Houston in the past, you know, 15, 20 years. One song in particular, Slim Thug got a bunch of those rappers together. And we're talking about Chamillionaire, Mike Jones, Bun B, Paul Wall, Zero, as we mentioned, Lil Kiki on this track as well. A few others, and of course, RIP to Pimp C, who also features on this track. The song is called simply Welcome to Houston. And once again, we want to send our thoughts and well wishes out there. And we leave you with a nice collection of Houston's rap finest. Y'all take it away.
We never seen a grind or that grind the way I grind, huh? Top on my drop, bodies missing in little time, huh? Candy painted with the gloss. You can hate, but that's the way a player flows. Still breaking bars, getting money's what I'm about. I'ma get it while these hitters just talk. Still breaking bars, gotta do it for the now. Gotta do it for my hustlers in the south. Still breaking bars, bars out. Still breaking bars out. When I do it, I'ma do it.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.